remembering, maybe some don't, that wasn't here. But he would often say, this is serious business. I don't know that I'll get this message across that's on my heart. I'm going to try. I believe it's a very, very, very serious message. I believe it's something that, of course, everybody needs to hear it. Nobody's above this happening to them. We all are susceptible to being influenced by the wrong person. Every one of us. You're not above it. I'm not above it. And certainly there's always that danger of it happening. We're in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Apostle John giving us the words, the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He deals with a subject about two influences upon your life. I never thought of it that way, and I kept on studying, and I believe the Lord helped me to see this. It's a parable making a comparison. He's going to make a comparison about these two different influences in the same place. And he warns us about the ones that are called thieves and robbers and hirelings. He helps us to see that they're in the same place. And so I trust that the Lord will help us this morning to see just what can happen to any of us at any time. I hope you young people listen. I really do. I hope all adults listen. You don't realize just what can happen to you, who can influence you, or what they're really trying to do to you. John writes here, let me just read a little bit. Verily, verily, that's truly, truly, or amen, amen. I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. Now he gets in, but he doesn't get in the right way. Notice what it says. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way. The same as a thief and a robber. But he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he hath put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. That's so important a verse. Christians do not follow heretics. Has nothing to do with your intellect or your knowledge of the Bible. It has to do with the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you on what is right and what is wrong. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So now he said, then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pastures. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not a shepherd, a hireling is a hired servant, whose own sheep, let me read again, he that is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, they really don't belong to him. He seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Let me pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I need your help. All that, Lord, you help me with, and through the night, different thoughts. And I pray, allow me, I pray this morning to have you clearness of mind. Yea, I want the wisdom of God. I don't care what I have in my mind or thoughts. I want what you have, what you say, what would help these people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You have two influences here in the same sheepfold, and they're both toying for the strings of your heart. What makes you think like you think, do what you do, believe what you believe? You have two of these forces that's in here in the fold. The one of them, of course, is the good shepherd. Jesus said in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. The other guys are the bad guys. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known by them, by mine. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he tells how that he cares for them. He deals with his love for them, his influence upon their life. He knows them by name. He calls them out and they follow him. There's no problem. There is no problem with a Christian following the Lord Jesus Christ. They will do it. He said another voice they will not hear. They won't follow a heretic. They won't follow somebody that's not of God. But they will follow a hireling. I'm saying to you, he's saying here that those two impressions are upon the minds of the people. Now, as I said, Jesus has given his example on his leadership, on it being the sheepfold. Look at it closely, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, he's entered, but climbeth up some other way, is a thief and the robber. He's made it into the fold. The fold is considered a place of safety. The fold is considered a place where you can be instructed in righteousness. It's considered a safe place where God can deal with your soul. It's considered, you might say, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the fold is, where the sheep gather. This is where This is where these men, whoever they be, are able to climb in. They're able to come in subtlety. They're able to sneak in. They're thieves. They're very subtle and deceptive. Jesus is the welcomed one, and he doesn't press you. He doesn't force you to come. It's the people that accept him, that believe in him, that trust him. He is the one as their shepherd, and he's the one that meets you in the sheepfold. And this is where he instructs. But at the same time, I think I've told you in Revelation chapter 2 that you even read where Satan has his seat in the church. And so does Jezebel has her seat in the church in one of the seven churches of Asia. You can read it as it goes on about the church. There's certainly evidence that the enemy can be sitting right in the midst. It's no doubt that the enemy can come and appear as a wolf in sheep's clothing. He can be a minister of Satan and be a preacher of righteousness. He can disguise himself as being a saint, a great preacher, and be very subtle in his ways and be able to influence and lead people astray. Jesus is all for protecting, loving, comforting, encouraging. He's the Psalms 23 shepherd that watches over his sheep, cares for them, protects them, blesses their lives, leads them. He even has a name for each one. He calls them, he said, he calleth his own sheep by name, verse 3. He has a name for them. He has a special name for you. But also at the same place, you have this influence of thieves, robbers, hirelings. And they are out. They are out to influence the minds of people. Now it's very subtle, but every person establishes in their mind from some influence what is true and what is a lie. What is good, what is bad. What is real? What is phony? You've established that among you. You equate things. You study things. You hear from people. You read things. You watch other people. And all the influences of this world can come right into the church house, right into the fold. Not only do you have the influence of God's word, but you also have the influence, even in the house of God, of people that don't agree with the Bible. People that don't agree with what is right and wrong. You can simply answer that just by the looks and the ways people dress, by the way they attend church, by the way they read their Bible, by the way you see them out and about in their lives, by their very actions in their lives. You can tell what choices they made. You can discern who they're following. You can discern who they believe in, whether they believe the Bible is true, whether they believe God is leading them, or whether they're really more interested in being accepted by others. This is the hardest pressure on young people. Young people, all of them, of course, we all have a desire to be liked, to fit in, to belong. We all have that. You'll hear me say it often. Every one of us has that. has that desire to just feel like we're accepted. Nothing hurts you more. Nothing bothers you more when other people won't accept you. They won't agree with your life. They reject you. They resist you. Nothing can be more powerful. I hope you look at me and listen to me. Nothing is more powerful than that to make you compromise the Word of God. As the world changes, because it becomes more sensual, failure to stay in step with the fashions and the fads and the different ways of life, the pressure remains strong on every young person to stay in step, stay in line. And so it's the constant pressure on their mind and their heart. Pressure like it can't be that bad. Well, I know other people that go to church and they say they're Christians and they don't have problems doing this and this and this. I'm saying to you that these, please listen. Remember, God cares for you. The good shepherd watches over you. The good shepherd protects you. But this crowd has one aim and one goal in their life, and that is to destroy you. Read your Bible. That's what they're out to do. Notice verse 10, the thief cometh not. He don't come for any good. He don't come to help, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's why he comes. That's why he comes to church. That's why he sits in church. That's why he puts question marks in your mind. That's why he can lead you aside. That's why he can control you. Because he can do the same thing to you as he does to Eve. I was thinking as I was preparing this message, good night. I still get caught at times. I'll be listening to another preacher. I think I listened to the message to a couple of messages yesterday. And boy, I like this guy. I mean, he's really bringing out facts and enlightening on a lot of subjects. And my, he knows his Bible, this. And I'm attracted. No different. I'm reasoning in my mind what is right and what is wrong. I'm trying to pick up on him. Is he agreeing with the Bible, all the Bible, or just part of it? Where does he stand? Where does he really stand? In my mind, I'm battling. Please listen. I'm battling my mind. I want him to be right. I'm wanting to agree with him. I'm wanting to accept the message. I'm wanting to feel that we agree in these things. I have the same pressure on me you have on you with young people. You don't want to be an outcast. Those words Jesus said, tough. They're hard to swallow. Just, you take the Bible where it says you're supposed to be a person that's kind, love your neighbors, yourself, blah, blah, blah. All through the Bible tells you to love one another. Then he turns around and says, the world will hate you just like it hates me. You're no better than your father. You're no better than your God. And it hated me, it'll hate you. Now, can you get along with that? Can you accept that? Do you accept that when people won't accept you? Do you just feel like, well, okay, I'm on God's side. It don't matter what they think of me. No, you don't think that. That pressure's on your mind. I want to be accepted. I'm not that bad. Jesus said they have one aim, one goal.
Do you think the devil wants to bypass some people and maybe help them go to heaven? He has one goal. He's called the destroyer. He's called the murderer. We go back over in chapter 8, and it'll tell you that these type of people, they're of the devil, and his deeds they will do. They'll do those deeds. Whatever the devil tells them to do, that's what they'll do over in chapter 8. We've studied that. He says, you're of your father the devil, and his deeds ye will do. You'll do them. That's what they're doing. They don't want one person to go to heaven. They don't want one person to disagree with the fashions and the fads and the philosophy of this world. They don't want you to go against the homosexuals. They don't want you to go against any of the other things, the immorality going on in our day. They want you to agree with it. You must agree. Well, you've got to agree. Science has proved they were born that way. That's a lie. Amen. You stand up against that, and people, you're weird. You're stupid. I mean, science. I mean, we've got some of the smartest men that ever lived in medical science. And you know, people that smoke think they're smarter than they are. Hello? Hello? People think that, who is he to say that I'm going to get cancer? Who is he to tell me what I can eat, what I can't eat? Who's he to tell me how I live, what I can't live? I've got a mind of my own. I've got principles I live by. Where did you develop them from? Who told you they were right? Do all of your theories and principles that control your life, can you take the Bible and say, this is what God says? This is where God tells me to live? This tells me how I worship Him? This tells me how I dress? This tells me how I even think? I'm not allowed to think except like He. I'm supposed to have the mind of Christ. I'm supposed to have a mind that is so tuned to God that I can say, I think Dennis quoted the other day, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's amazing how people think their views, their values, their opinions, the principles they live by. Well, this is the way I see it. Y'all ever hear that? This is how I see it. This is what I believe. Where's it at? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. You know, somehow, young people think that preachers just don't have it. They don't know. I'm not boasting. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I've been studying and preaching for 50 years. 50 years. Reading the Bible through, study, study, study. Sometimes I sat down and studied till I hurt. Now my carpal tunnel said, I think that's got a lot to do with the writing I'm doing. But it just drives me crazy. But I have to keep studying. 50 years. And there's children in here that think I'm wrong. I really don't know about the Bible. How do you know, preacher? Well, I watch how they live. I watch their faces when I preach. I watch their lives. And I can tell they don't believe a word that I'm saying. You say, preacher, that's the fact. I'm trying to say to you that you form your own life on your own opinions. You decide how much of that Bible you're going to take and how much you're not going to take. That influences of trying to destroy your mind against the truth. Preacher, how do you know that? Well, and whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe that. I don't mean the people that just don't believe in Jesus, they don't believe, they don't have a love for the truth of the Word of God. How many young people in here this morning could say, I read my Bible all the time and pray over it, and God speaks to my heart, reveals His will to my life. The Word of God dwells in me richly. I can tell in a moment when I'm not in agreement with the Bible. Young people think that they can live in sin that won't bother them. Please listen, you young people. You need to study the story of the prodigal son. You need to study it real good. Forget about the going home. Take a good close look at what the world did to him. Now I want you to know, this is what they're going to do to you. You live in sin. You ignore God's word. You go out there and play in the world, and they will accept you. They'll embrace you. They'll show love to you until they're done with you. Read the prodigal son. When he wasted all of his inheritance, he got half the inheritance from the estate, went down and lived in riotous living, spread his money among harlots and drunkenness, and lived a wicked life for a short time. Money run out. Somebody tell me where his friends were. They wouldn't buy him a meal. He's eating hog slop. They wouldn't give him a place to stay. Long as he had money, buddy, they was friends. That's exactly what the world will do to you. Exactly. You're no different. They'll use you, abuse you. They'll do just what it says in here. They will destroy you. They will destroy your soul. They'll destroy your character. They'll destroy your life. That's their main aim. What are you saying, preacher? I'm trying to inform. I'm trying to make it clear that you have an enemy that's out to do everything in his power to keep you from living for God, walking with God, loving God, obeying God, believing God, accepting God. I said every one of us is vulnerable. Every one of us live in a state where we watch other people. And it's the same verse I used on Thursday night. Those that compare themselves with other people are not wise. You look at other people and figure, well, I'm just as good as they are. Well, how good do you think they are? Or I'm not as bad as they are. Where do you get your measuring rod? Where do you get your values from? Where do you get your principles from that determine how spirit you are? You get them out of your own brain? The Bible says in Jeremiah, it's not in man to know the way. That's what it says, not in man to know the way. Saying, I can't be strong enough this morning to make you see that your desire for acceptance in this world can damn your soul to hell. They will accept you. They will. For a while. I can't make it clear enough that it's everywhere. You can get the influence from kin, in your own home, neighbors, sitting right in church. You can come to church and learn about anything you possibly can think of that's on the TV or on the internet or on the cell phone comes right into the church. I've got no doubt those people that have sat in church and watched porno. I remember a preacher telling me some things about a woman sitting in a church. I said, you can't be serious, as I'm telling you, right in church. That was probably 25 years ago he told me that down down below here. I can't remember the name of the town now. He was a pastor in there. Lynchburg. Who do you listen to? Who do you believe? I'm saying there's kids that believe that they're safe. There's adults that believe they're safe. They're safe. I dare to tempt God and live without Him because I don't believe He's coming. I don't believe the Bible where I'd be left behind. I'm not that bad a person. I really don't believe there's a hell. Well, let me say this, preacher. I don't believe hell's going to be that bad a place. I've heard so many people talk about they're going to have booze parties and they're going to have fun and they're going to have friends and they're going to do this and this in hell. I want you to know everybody in hell hates one another. There is no love in hell. There's nothing but hatred, and you're not going to be near anybody. If I understand it, you're going to be fallen constantly. How many people do you think really believe in hell and still live the way they live? They can't. If you really believe that you could go out here and have a car accident and go in hell in the next 15 minutes, if you really believe that, I believe you'd start getting some things right. I believe you really believe that. I knew a preacher named Murray. His daughter got into a false religion, JW's. She breaking his dad's heart. He was a good preacher. I loved Brother Murray. His daughter, she wouldn't even celebrate Christmas or nothing. And she was really tied in it strong. He was a good preacher. Would you answer me? How could somebody so move a preacher's daughter that's heard all the truth for years? She was up married now all her life. And he was a good preacher, a great preacher, a love preacher. How in the world did they get to that girl? Why don't you look at that seriously, soberly? Never touch me. He prayed and prayed. One morning she came down the house. Dad come to the door. Says, Dad, it's a lie. There is a hell. I believe God showed me hell last night. Made it so real I couldn't turn away from it. Dad, they're not telling the truth. I'm sorry. She could have went to hell. Had a praying dad. Say, you have, every one of you, all the way down, you've already got principles you're going to live by. I feel I'm safe with this. I can do this. I won't get caught with this. I can live this way if I want to. Look at me, listen to me. The Bible says every person will give an account of themselves. You don't have to worry about me. You don't have to worry about me. Don't worry what I think about you. Just get your Bible and just try to picture Jesus. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, look like legs of brass and eyes of fire. And you stand before him. And the Bible says you'll be without excuse. You won't have any answer. You won't be able to tell him, well, I thought it this way, and I believe this, and I didn't believe this was wrong, and I don't think this is bad. No, you won't have any of those things you brave with now. You wouldn't dare stand before God and say, I don't care what you say. I don't care what the Bible says. I like to do this. I do this. I'm going to do this. You wouldn't dare say that in front of God. Not for a moment. But there's whispers in your mind and people that talk to you. It ain't going to be that way. God's too loving to send anybody to hell. That's universalism. Serious business. Don't wait too late. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Try the spirits that you're listening to. The impressions you're getting in your mind that help justify your life. Where are they coming from? Where are they coming from? Who's telling you you're all right when you're not all right? Who do you think would tell you that? Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life. The robbers and the thieves are coming that they might steal and kill and destroy. They are in this world. They're everywhere around you. And their aim is to destroy you one way or another. You're not special. You're not beyond. You're not too good. You don't know too much. You're not exempt. They're out to destroy you. Jesus said that. He says that's their aim. That's their goal. That's exactly what they'll continue to try to do all of your life. There ain't one of you looking at me with your eyes that doesn't have pull upon you a lot of times on what you believe, what you think, what you believe about the Bible, what you believe about life. There ain't a one of you that isn't tempted to go compromise on the Word of God. It's the easy way out. You can justify your mind. I mean, I don't think it's that way. Does that help? I don't believe it could be that way. Does that help? I mean, the old preacher's lost it. He's 50 years and he needs to get out of the pulpit so we can hear somebody tell us a bunch of fables and good stories. We can laugh and be happy and exercise our intellect with different stories. And I mean, hey, he don't have it. Say, preacher, no, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. There's a God in heaven that refuses to be mocked. We mock him with our supposedly ignorance, mock him with our rebellion, mock him with our opinions a lot of times. We form our own, as I say, values. And he pulls on the strings of your heart with his word to see if you're in harmony with it. You know, That's a rough verse in 2 Thessalonians. It really is. He said, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness to them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. You need to underline that in your Bible. Because they received not the love of the truth. Here's what I'm going to do to you, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie. How many people around you nowadays believe a lie? God ain't coming. You don't have to worry about the rapture. Well, there's thousands of preachers that don't believe in the second coming. Thousands of them don't believe in the rapture. Probably many, many thousands that don't believe in the rapture. They don't have a love of the truth, so they believe a lie. You got your choice. You got your choice. But you also got your penalty or your blessing. Which way? You believe it? God will bless you. God will help you. God will inform you. God will instruct you. God will give you understanding. You reject it, and God says, I'll make it to where you believe a lie. You'll enjoy a lie. You'll want to hear a lie. You'll love to hear a lie. I'll make you that way. I'll make you that way. I'll fix your mind that way. You won't know the truth. You won't never grasp the truth. You'll hate the truth. You like it that way? I'll fix it that way for you. You'll embrace a lie and figure, well, that's me. Jesus came to be a good shepherd, minister to you, protect you, watch over you, love you, lead you. Never forsake you. He's not a hireling. A hireling will let you get ate up by the wolves. Hireling don't care about your soul. All he's concerned about is himself. And the thieves and the robbers, the disguised people, the people that sneak around in disguise of being something really wise, noble, they're out to get your mind, out to get your heart, out to deceive you. God help us in this day to take this Bible serious. You feel pretty safe with what you believe? You feel that you're just perfect in it? You don't have anything possibly that could be influenced by other people? Do you ever weigh it out? I mean, really search it out on the people you believe in? I get so tired of it. I get drawn to it. I got drawn to a preacher a few months ago, and this guy can preach. Oh, my soul, is it good? I'm just sat there, yes, yes, yes. He gave an invitation, and he didn't say one word about repentance. Not one word about repentance. Just believe. He put it all in the commercial kind of a status, in a monetary way, constantly putting in about paid this and paid this and paid this. Never said once about repentance. How many of you believe that that really offends the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, except you repent, you'll perish? Do you know the majority of the Baptists don't believe in repentance? Listen to them. I listen to them. I listen to all kinds of preachers. They will not preach repentance. Hiles said you don't have to preach repentance. Curtis Hudson said you don't have to preach repentance. Even took it out of the songbook. So, was he right and Jesus was wrong? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I'm trying to tell you the influence was right in the church to try to damn souls to hell. I read you the verse this morning in Acts. Repentance. This is what Paul said. This is what we're preaching now. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation. There's nobody gets in. There's nobody gets saved that has a rebellious, hard heart. There's nobody that gets saved that it won't bow before God in a broken and a contrition spirit. Nobody. You say, preacher, you believe in tears? I believe more than that. I believe you'll be down the bottom. You'll be facing hell, and you'll see yourself. This is it. If you don't save me, I'm a goner. I just believe the old-fashioned way. Count me down. I just believe the old-fashioned way, and Holy Ghost conviction is a must. Why do you believe that? Well, the Bible says he will come into this world to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. I believe that has to happen. Jesus said, I'm sending him to do just that. I'm sending the Holy Spirit of God that will convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Let's stand. Don't reject the word. You can do what you want to with me, but you'd best believe this Bible. Don't matter what you think about my preaching, my style, what I say. If you've got knowledge of the Bible, then examine what I preach, as the Bereans did with Paul, whether these things be so. It's kind of a good study to have, to just really see what God requires for you to go to heaven. And it isn't just believing. That's why I read that verse. Paul said, I didn't fail to preach to you the whole counsel of God, not just one little part. People lay their whole soul, the destiny of their soul, on one word, believe. Well, do you throw all the rest of them away? Don't matter now? I just believe when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and shows you what you're like, you won't be smiling. You won't be popping gum and just looking around. I seen a woman standing right over here. I've told you, I was preaching hard off the pulpit over there. She's standing and got her hands on the back of that pew, and she's shaking and crying and shaking and crying and resisting the Holy Ghost of God. She never come back. You don't play games with God. You don't tell God, just wait a while. Right, let me have some fun. I don't. Leave me alone. He will. He'll leave you alone. He's not pressed. He's not forced. He don't have to. He calls you once. That's all.
You don't even have to do that. You got the Bible and you don't listen to the call of the Bible, shame, shame on you. Time's short. Your time's short. My time's short. Everywhere you listen to preachers nowadays, they're all saying it's coming together. It's got to be now. I listened to the guy last night. It's got to be. It's got to be now. It's got to be. It can't go no farther. It's got to be now. The way things are coming together in prophecy, it's got to be now. It can't go no farther. So you say, what difference does it make? God help us. God help us. That little song, I'll be true, precious Jesus, I'll be true. I challenge you to do that. Be true with Jesus. Be honest with him about your heart, about your life. Listen to him. Ask him to speak to you. Why don't you ask him where you stand? Ask him. Don't form your own little sacred kind of reliance on something. Ask him. Simply ask him. Am I right with you? Do I belong to you? Are you pleased with me? Am I ready? Ask him. If you ask seriously, soberly, humbly, he'll answer you. He'll answer you. Crosby must have asked him the question, and she got the answer, blessed assurance. She had an assurance. I remember my wife saying, it's okay. I'm ready for the crossing. Your day's coming. I hope you have a chance to even hear that or say that. I hope. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I'm going to have the piano player play one stanza. I pray that all consider their heart where they're standing before you. Doesn't matter what preachers say. Don't matter what they think. Don't matter the verses they've read. Don't matter what others have done. I pray they'll examine themselves now. As she plays a song, I pray, Father, that you'd speak to their hearts. Trouble their soul. Don't let them miss heaven. Don't let one of them miss heaven. So move on their lives that they'd run to you, I pray. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I'm going to ask her to play two stanzas of invitation. God dealt with your heart, troubled your soul. Examine yourself. Make your calling and election sure. That's what Peter said. Make it sure and steadfast, real. Is thy heart right? Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. God help us. God help us. Won't you come? God, won't you come? Spirit of God dealing with your heart, pulling at your heartstrings, troubling your soul, dealing with your life. Therefore, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. There's no early warnings, no special call for you. In an hour that you think not, talks about the first world when Noah's building that ark. He preached to them. They wist not. They didn't even think about it could possibly flood. And they drowned, went to hell. God help us. God help us to take our condition seriously before God, a state of our soul, our state of readiness. Take it seriously. I don't think I'd want to, and I know many of them have happened to them. And I remember an old doctor saying, out of the, I don't know how many he numbered, that he questioned them. He was a good Christian doctor, and he questioned him. And he questioned him about being ready. And he said over 50% of them, when they made it and lived, he said they went out and lived wicked again. They lied. They weren't ready. I pray God works in your hearts. Calls you, troubles you. Last thing I'd want to see is see God have to knock you down with something in order just to wake you up. He can do that. He's got a bunch of people's attention by judging them. You read that book. Father, I love you and I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, you'd move in the hearts of each one. These children that's not ready, some not paying attention whatsoever. That troubles me. That hurts my heart for them. I just, where is the consciousness of the reality there is a God in heaven that has control of our next breath? Move in the lives of each one. May the Spirit of God awaken them to the truth. Thank you for these that come. I pray they go home with an assurance in their heart, ready to meet God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. You are dismissed.